Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Isles Buzz podcast. This is your one-stop shop for everything surrounding your New York Islanders. And now, here are your hosts, Dan Petru and Noel Fogelman.
So Dan, I had tickets for game 5 in both rounds. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be getting refunds in both rounds. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was. Who would have thought, you know, usually with the Islanders, if necessary, is always necessary. But they won quickly and then lost quickly. So overall, a great season. Don't love the way it ended, obviously. But at least, you know, your credit card will get refunded and you'll be good to go. But moving forward, you should probably go to games that are guaranteed next time.
Yeah, I mean, I figured I'd learn my lesson, you know, after the first round. But nope, stubborn enough to buy game 5 as well. But first and foremost, I want to take time to thank everybody for listening this year and supporting us coming to our live show at Lighthouse Hockey in March. That was a great turnout, great guests. The place is awesome. It did very well in the postseason. But yeah, thank everybody who supported us this year and years past for making the show a lot of fun to do. We really appreciate it. We love the debates on Twitter that you and I enjoy with the fans, and yeah, we'll look forward to another season next year.
Yeah, when we first started doing this, you didn't think anyone was going to listen to two guys in your spare bedroom, you know, recording a show about the Islanders, but at first no one did. But where we are now, we're really thankful, we're really grateful and humble, and so everyone who listens, even the ones who don't agree with us, we like all kind of, you know, we encourage all kind of conversation, because if you're talking about the Islanders, you're talking about something great. So we thank you all for listening and your continued support. And we also want to thank a big thanks to Lighthouse Hockey and SB Nation for really providing a great home for us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, this season basically should not have been played. The season was over July 1st last year when Tavares went to Toronto. I mean, why play any of these games? But you know what? Lou Lamoriello was stubborn enough to field the team. And Barry Trotz was stubborn enough to coach the team. And the team exceeded a lot of expectations this year. No one thought they'd be hosting, have a home ice advantage in two playoff rounds this year. And no one thought they'd be hosting playoff games in the National Coliseum. 103 points, just an unbelievable season. But that being said, there's a potential of four wild card teams in the conference finals. And that just gets me very, very aggravated how the Islanders stood pat at the trade deadline.
Well, I mean, look, it wasn't so much staying pat. We all know that that Lou tried to make moves, but the prices weren't up to his liking, right? So you can look at it this way. He didn't do anything rash for a rental, and now moving forward to this offseason, he has all the weapons at his disposal to do whatever he needs to do, and also to pursue some of these same players without having to give up, you know, significant assets.
That is absolutely true, but they might not be in this position again. I mean,
what are you going to do? What are you going to do, though, Noel? They offered a first-round pick and Anthony Beauvillier for Mark Stone, and he chose to go to Vegas because he re-signed with them, and he knew he was going to Vegas. So what are you supposed to do there?
Well, I mean, Vegas gave a better prospect.
Is
Eric Branson
Brandstrom a better prospect than someone who's already proven in the league?
in a heartbeat, I would take Eric Brandstrom over Anthony Beauvillier. Absolutely.
Yeah, I understand. Okay. Let me rephrase that. So basically, you would have to trade a first rounder and Dobson. But you don't know if he would have resigned. So we knew that Stone was going to resign in Vegas because, once again, they have such a clear advantage, Tampa, Dallas, and Vegas, with no state income tax. So that was leaked out there. That's one of the reasons why that deal got done so easily. So, obviously I wanted Lou to do something at the deadline. We both said it then, and it is what it is. He rolled the dice with the team he had based on what the market value was at that time. He did not want to empty the farm for guys that could walk also on July 1st. So, I wanted Mark Stone here. That was well known by everyone. It didn't happen. He took his chance, and he went as far as this team went as far as it could as the way it was constructed. So now we move forward, and I expect Lou to be extremely aggressive in the offseason and kind of mold his team more to what he wants.
I would like to know if they were in on Matt Duchene. Because
yes, they were. We had Arthur Staple on. He said that.
Right, but what Columbus gave up was not nearly a lot. I mean,
I know.
The Islanders could have easily matched that or even succeeded that. So it would have been
it is what it is. We already had this debate the day of the trade deadline.
No, I know, and we did. We had Arthur.
We both said it then. We both said then. This team needs more offense. This team needs more offense. This team needs more offense. Well, it came back and it bit them in the ass. But they still had a fantastic season.
Oh no, I'm not taking away. It's just they had a fantastic year. Just the way the playoffs broke this year.
But who's to say they would have marched right past Columbus the way Columbus is playing? Or Boston, a team they haven't beaten in years. So, I mean, it's really hypothetical at this point. Yeah. I'm not defending Lou because I was extremely critical of the inaction at the trade deadline. But it's like, okay, this is the team we had, and this is as far as you could go with them.
And
which is still pretty good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a fantastic season. But it could still have been going on. But that being said, I do trust Lou. I trust him going forward. I mean, he's got the track record. But who knows what Columbus is going to do. Columbus may win the cup and decide that they want to keep some of these guys, or they want to stay.
They're not going to keep all four of them.
Not all four of them, but Panarin. What happens if
they're not going to? They're not going to. They're not going to pay Bobrovsky what he wants. He's definitely gone.
Okay.
They're not going to give him $8 to $9 million a year. There's no way.
But we don't need Bobrovsky, and we'll talk about the Islanders.
No, I know, but there are a lot of rumors linking Bobrovsky to the Islanders. I don't believe them, but there are a lot of rumors from very reputable places that have that conversation being conducted.
Well,
so
I think that's absolutely foolish, because why would they spend probably double what potentially they would give Robert Leonard, who had an absolutely fabulous year. Leonard,
yeah,
very
I'm just saying
here.
What people are, but very reputable people are reporting.
I know, very reputable.
I don't necessarily buy it. So basically, the way it looks to Columbus is this. They either sign Panarin or Duchene. They're not going to get both of them. They'll probably get one of them.
Okay. Whoever they don't sign, the Islanders have to be hot and heavy on. They have to be in on.
Obviously.
They have to go full court press because they need them. The Islanders don't have any killers on this team. There's no one that other teams fear. I love Matt Barzal. He's a great player. But does anyone really fear him?
Yes. Now, yes, you there as well. Let me rephrase that. I think his greatest strength is 3-on-3. So during the regular season, he might present more of a concern when the game's more wide open.
Yeah, I mean,
does that make sense?
It does, but he also, and I hopefully with the right, they have the right coach, but they need people to tell him to shoot more. He's got potential to be a 30-goal scorer.
Yeah, but you know, he had a fantastic playoffs. He was their best player in the playoffs.
He was solid, but then again, you know, everyone was quiet in the last round.
But he still was a point of game player in the playoffs.
4 points. Yeah, okay.
He had 8 points in 8 games, Noel. What more do you want?
I'm just talking about the last round. The first round, fine.
Last round, he had 4 points in 4 games. That's not
out right. No, okay. All right, that's fine. Four points, but that it was very quiet because they were.
Well, yeah,
because
the whole team was quiet.
Right.
I mean,
they're basically disposed of in 4 games. So, what are you going to do? But that being said, we could look at some of the unrestricted free agents they have, and I guess we can go in order of most likely to least likely staying. And I guess it starts with Robin Leonard. I would imagine he'll probably take a week to kind of decompress, you know, both sides, just because he had an unbelievable year. No one thought this was going to happen. Lou took low risk, high reward, picked him up off the trash heap, and he's going to potentially go home with two awards, and he has a chance for a third award in Vegas. But I'd imagine it gets done sooner than later, and it'd be a lot cheaper than Sergei Bobrovsky. And
I agree.
And it's something you'll probably get 4 or 5 years. I think closer to five, we'll get it done.
Yeah, I'm thinking probably 4 years, around $20 million.
And that's totally fine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I won't worry about whatever happens with the Russian guy.
I could care eventually, less right now about, you know, him. Seriously.
He's basically,
I could care less.
He's basically the Canadian girlfriend that we all have. You know, that
I actually, there's a goalie in the end of the first round who could slip into early second. I really like him this year. A kid from Connecticut. You're familiar with him, Spencer Knight.
Yes.
I seriously would draft him in the, I wouldn't take him at 23, but I would totally move up into the early second round and draft him, because the Islanders do need another goalie in this system. They can't count on Sorokin, and who knows what the hell's up with Soderstrom. Yeah. Obviously, when we get closer to the draft, we'll break this down more. We'll have Russ Cohen on. He'll tell us all about it. But I mean, that's something that's also not not impossible to happen during the offseason, because you can't rely on Sorokin. I've completely moved on from him.
Yeah, I mean, you know he's not coming next year, and you'll just have to wait and see what happens the following year. But like I said, yeah, you still have Greiss under contract for another year.
And you do.
They have the combination. Right. It's totally fine. And then you can worry about Sadas from if he ever comes, and
Signed, so you have to think he'll be there next year.
If he's healthy, that's the thing. If he's healthy,
right. he'll be at least under contract. So yeah. you have to think.
That's, you know,
it's just a weird story, because, you know, maybe we ask one of Gross or Staple during the offseason. Maybe we try and get an update on that.
Yeah, I mean, if they
know, it's just a weird story. He just never saw him. He's like disappeared this year.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just injured the whole year, then hopefully.
I thought he would be rehabbing in America. I don't know.
Clearly,
he wasn't. So who knows?
I know he was here prior to signing.
Correct.
Yeah, but I don't know if he really came over. No one really mentioned him all year, so it was just kind of a strange situation.
Speaking of goaltending, and before we get back to the free agents of the Islanders, I think there's only one person the Islanders nation could be blaming for this loss. I think it's you, Noel. Because ever since at the end of Game 6, you called the Carolina goaltending garbage, they kind of went on a roll.
All right, so
would you like to publicly apologize again?
So I was stubborn enough our last show basically not to apologize for calling Pete Mrazek trash. That being said, he didn't play the last two games of the series, and that was all Curtis McElhinney. So congrats to Curtis McElhinney. And you know what? I apologize to Pete Mrazek. They've been unbelievable.
But you said something nasty about McElhinney too, so I think it still applies.
Yeah, but it just also bugs me that how the Islanders, and let's go back to even 2015, Game 2 against the Caps, when Holpe couldn't play and they threw in Grubauer. The Islanders had an unbelievable opportunity to go 2-0. They couldn't capitalize. I felt that was they couldn't capitalize when McElhinney came in Game 2. A goalie it wasn't frazzled because he looked good, but who didn't get any work done, just thrown in a hostile environment. And the Islanders could not get anything past him. He built the confidence, and he looked good the remainder of the series. It's going to be interesting what they do now.
Yeah, it is, actually.
You know, but who cares? It's not our concern. But
no,
I apologize to all the jerks out there.
The amount of disdain and disrespect that Don Cherry is showing the Hurricanes franchise makes me want them to win more. Does that make, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable how he's basically, I mean, look at his suits. I mean, it's really, that's not all-time hockey, those suits.
Right.
You know, but
it reminds me of the Office episode where Michael Scott is dating Pam's mother, and she starts screaming at him, like, I want you to, you know, you need to stop. And he just looks at her, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to date her even harder.
Yeah.
And she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, you know what that means. So that's what I want the Hurricanes to do. Win even more.
Yeah, and but it's gonna be funny because I think all the other three series are gonna go seven games, and
it's possible.
Yeah, and Carolina's gonna be sitting there again, and now they're gonna have the rest, so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens there. But wild playoffs. I mean, it's unbelievable. But
all right, let's get back to the Islanders free agent.
Back to the Islanders. So we both think that Leonard is gonna stay.
We do
probably 5 years, $20 million, or 4 years, $20 million, something like that. But I think it's a good deal, and he's revitalized his career. The Islanders have, and their fan base, especially the fan base, they love this guy, and he loves them. So
yes, he does.
Why would he want to go anyplace else? Okay, so number two is the captain, Anders Lee. And I'm a little bit disappointed at Islander fans a little bit. Because,
why?
And, okay, I'm going to start something here probably.
Terrible.
Why get down on this guy? He's your captain. You guys do. He does so much for this franchise.
You also need him. You know, you need him.
You do need him. But I mean, don't you know? What someone called him Trent Hunter, right? On
yeah, but Twitter. You were just critical of Matt Barzell's quiet 8 points, but now you're defending Anders Lee's empty net goal in the playoffs.
No, I'm not defending him. But you shouldn't pay someone based on one playoff performance or not.
No,
pay
you,
them.
You pay them for their overall body of work.
Right.
I agree.
That's
all
I'm saying.
Which makes this one the most trickiest of all of them. Because he's 29. He's not getting any quicker. You want him to stay, but you don't want it to turn into like another, or you don't want it to turn into an albatross of a contract.
No. You have to, yeah, it's very tricky here. You have to kind of hope that he wants to take a hometown discount here. And Lou basically been here 1 year, and we all know Lou has, I want to say he doesn't have a heart. That's not the right way to say.
No, but he's just shrewd and calculated.
He's a great businessman. And yeah, so it's all about performance and numbers, and all the other stuff is, you know, secondary. But that being said, they put a C on this guy's chest in Carolina in October. I don't see him going through another captain next year. This isn't the Islanders from like the mid '90s where everyone wore a C.
You can't lose a captain 2 years in a row. But I mean, if he's looking for 7 and 49, then you have to walk away from that.
Yeah, then you get the tribute video ready because that you can't do that. But between 5 and 6, you see, I don't even want to go 6 years with him.
I'm thinking 5 for 30.
I mean, I think that should get it done. I would hope, because the only other maybe a team like Edmonton, if they can somehow get rid of Lucic's contract, if you throw him on at a
this is no disrespect, but the fear is that could be another Lucic contract.
But you need someone. He needs like a center. He needs a top notch center, and I just don't know why he just. Maybe it was the system this year and everyone's numbers were down, but...
Oh, I think part of it, Noel, is the power play. You know, he didn't get as many points in the power play because they were so inept.
Right, and that'll totally be addressed in the offseason.
You would think.
Yeah. I mean, 6 for 30. I mean, no, that wouldn't get it done. You do
five,
6 for
30. 5 for 30. I think 5 for 30 or 5 for... 33, 6.5 maybe is the most you go.
Yeah, I mean it's a raise for him. I don't know. It's tricky.
I just don't think you go past 5 years.
You can't.
I don't care as much about the term.
I mean they do have the cap space. So if you do five, if you give him 7.
Yeah, if I give him 7, I'm not going more than 5 years.
No, so you do 5 for 35.
I could probably live with that.
Yeah, that. I think that'll get it done.
I'd give him a no trade clause in the first 2 years.
I guess so.
After year two, there's no
expansion.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'll get it done. So, all right. So that's so what is that? $7 million a year, and then we're giving Leonard how much? $5 million.
$5 million.
So that's $12 million. Okay. So okay, $12 million we're spending from the cap. Okay. The next guy is Brock Nelson, and Brock Nelson had a bounce back year. He looked good at times, but his negotiating history with his agent and the Islanders has always been a little tense. It came down to the 12th hour, the previous contract, right, when he was about to forego the whole year with, you know, Charles Wong's rule about holding out, heading into training camp. I can't give this guy more than $5 million a year. I'm sorry.
I would give him 4 for $24 million. Be my third line center.
Third line, but the thing is, like, I might have to wait until this is very risky. Wait until free agency opens up to see if I can get like a Panarin or even a Duchesne, because Duchesne would be a center, obviously. So to get him, he's really the only center on the market.
Well, the window opens up a week before we can start talking to, you know, you can start talking to
so if you can agree to something,
you have a good idea where you stand.
Right. So if you can agree to that quickly, then you can, you know, go back to Nelson and try to lock him up. Third line center would be great. This team is in desperate need of centers, and there's no reinforcements in Bridgeport right now. Otto Koivu had a fantastic year. He's not ready. He's not ready to come up here. He's still learning to be a center. He kind of died down towards the end of the year. I watched him all year, and the strides this guy made were unbelievable. He's not ready. He needs another year to develop. So it's basically,
you're probably not finding two centers to be two and three in free agency. I mean, you could bring Filppula back.
I love
the idea of that, but you could bring Filppula back. You have to get a number two center via free agency or trade. And then if you want to move from Nelson, I get it. I just think Nelson gives you a nice security blanket. And if you added Duchesne, or you traded for maybe a Nugent Hopkins, and Nelson is your third line center, I think you would have really good centers on your team.
Right, and you bring up Nugent Hopkins, and I was going to get to that after, but we can talk about that now. He'd be the guy definitely targeted via trade. And it could be a good trade partner.
If he's available. I don't understand any. I mean, we've heard the stories, but why in the hell would Edmonton to want to move him? Now that Ken Holland's going there, that could change things as well, too. Yeah. But, I mean, they have three really good forwards, obviously, two all-world, and Nugent Hopkins. And why would you want to move him to create another problem?
Yeah, I mean, because they need defensemen desperately.
No, they need wings. They need a number one defenseman, but they have some good defensemen. They just have no depth there. So they need to solidify their blue line, yes. But they have nothing on the wing. Nothing.
All right. Would you trade Beauvillier and Letty for Nugent Hopkins?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So would I.
I don't know if Edmonton would, but I would.
Okay. Would you trade Kiefer Bellows and Nick Letty?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I think I totally would too, if I can avoid giving out a draft pick, because we'll get to that a little bit later. I think I would too.
We have the 23rd pick. I would trade our first rounder too if I had to.
I might want to hold on to the first rounder this year, because we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Now I'll shoot down your dreams, like just like you thought Kopitar. You know, I'll shoot down your offer sheet dreams when we get to it.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. So with Nelson, I think, okay, let's throw something else out there. Would you want to, because basically the fourth line was pretty much the third line, and Casey Zeke has had an unbelievable season. Would you move him up to the third line?
No, I think you want to keep the fourth line intact. I'm sure, like, if you got one of the big fish at center and you want to sell me on finding just another just solid third line center, maybe bring Filppula back or someone of that nature, so to speak. Maybe, you know, like I've always liked like a guy like Jay Beagle, you know, a defensive minded center. You can sell me on that. I just think Nelson would give you Nelson and one of the big fish at center would give you an amazing amount of stability. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And that's like a perfect world. If you can get Duchesne and resign Nelson, that's totally fine. Or, you know, bring back Nelson and get Nugent Hopkins. That's totally cool too. That'll work.
Because if you don't get Duchesne, you're gonna have to trade for a center.
All right. So someone we can possibly do, maybe similar to like what Patrick Marleau got from Toronto maybe a 3-year deal or something like that. Like he got is Joe Pavelski from San Jose.
Yeah, if he was available, I still don't think he'll leave that franchise. He really is kind of part with him and Thor and are kind of the face of that franchise. I could see them him just playing 1-year deals there. But if he was available, obviously still has a ton of great hockey left in him. And it's someone that I would definitely be interested in, yes.
Yeah, he's 34. He like you said, he's like Mr. San Jose there. But he would be a, you know, a great addition, you know, veteran leadership as well. He still has plenty of hockey to play, so who knows there. All right, so we both think with Nelson, if we're not going more than $5 million a year, so maybe 5 for 25.
No, I would give him $6 million a year. I don't want to give him more than 4 years. See, the dollar amount doesn't matter to me. The length of the contract matters a lot more.
All right, 4 years, $24 million.
Yeah.
All right. I can actually handle that. That's 4 years. That's fine. All right. You mentioned Val Fipola, who had a tremendous season this year, really, really exceeded expectations. He's somebody that I would kind of leave as like a plan C. No pun intended with the center position. If someone bowls him over with a multi-year deal, we say thanks, Val, for your year and good luck. But if he wants to come back for 1 year, I absolutely do it.
He's also someone that could be a 13th forward, too. I mean, I don't think there's going to be, you know, I don't think first week of July, people are going to be running for him. He's definitely someone I think you keep a conversation up with him. And it's something that, you know, a situation where everything doesn't unfold the way you want. Obviously, I think he can come back and help. I would like to get a little younger, faster at that position. But he is definitely someone who could certainly help if need be.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Dan, I'm getting a little bit of breaking news right now. Leo Komarov just took another bad penalty.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Uncle Leo.
Yeah. Three more years of that disaster. Oy.
I wouldn't call him a disaster. It's just his timing is not good.
No, it takes the work. I mean, he had, you know, I would say he had an average season for them. But yeah, those penalties were just god-awful. And Lou just pretty much priced him, you know, was probably bidding against himself on that contract. But hopefully he'll be a little better. But, you know, as you get older, you're going to get better and or wiser on certain things.
But yeah, he definitely took some bad penalties.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's basically comes up to our next guy, Jordan Eberle, who had a tremendous first series and kind of disappeared in the second, much like the rest of the Islanders' offense. This is a tough one. I would kind of go in the same camp as Val Fipola, where I would just let him hit the market and make him a plan D and see what happens. If he's still available, you reach out to him again, but I'm not paying this guy more than what he got this year. That's for sure.
And I think someone out there will overpay him because of his resume, because of his career. Maybe a team that has a lot of cap space. I could see like a team like Arizona throwing him a little bit more money than maybe he's worth because they have the space and they desperately need more professional scorers in their lineup. So I don't think he's coming back. But once again, you have a conversation with them. I'm going after one of the big fish first. And if that doesn't work out, maybe you cycle your way back. But honestly, at the end of the day, for my honest evaluation, I don't think you're going to see Jordan Eberle back with the Islanders next year.
No, you know where I think he might go? Might be a good spot for him is the Devils. The Devils can use another winger, and I think he'd be a good fit there, definitely.
And they have plenty of cap space.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Islanders also have a ton of cap space. And they have a couple other unrestricted – well, Tanner Fritz, who was battling a blood clot, I think it's also unrestricted free agent. I think they'll bring him back for some depth forward. They really like him. And you know, when he played this year, he was productive with the Islanders. I think they'll bring him back because he can always just
probably for Bridgeport,
be an extra forward here as well. All right, so that's basically the Islanders unrestricted free agents. And now we can talk a little bit about the restricted free agents of other teams. There are
this is going to be a really quick conversation, but go ahead.
All right. So I guess we'll aim for the stars first, okay? Why not go after Mitch Marner, okay? You know, Toronto is going to have some cap issues. And Lou knows them well. He drafted Marner. Why not go for it all?
And it just doesn't happen. I'm not saying don't go for it. I'm just saying it doesn't happen. There's been like two offer sheets in the past decade.
Right. I mean, well, what was the last one I remember? Was it Shea Weber? Was that one?
Ryan O'Reilly. And then Shea Weber.
Yeah, that's right. O'Reilly. But, okay, so let's just say for argument's sake, right, the Islanders offer between, I don't know, just around the $10 million mark, right? Which I think the Leafs would match that. But it would put them in an interesting spot for the salary cap. That would be two first-rounders, which is totally fine. I don't mind giving up that, a second and a third. That's not a lot to give up for Mitch Marner. I'm sorry.
I don't think Marner signs that, though. I don't.
No.
I don't think he takes a penny under Austin Matthews' contract.
Okay, so then we go.
If you have a good agent, which he probably does, I'm going there saying, look, I'm as valuable in this league as Austin Matthews is. So I'm not taking a penny less than that.
Let's see if this. You have to go to Dallas, someplace without a state income tax. He would sign that deal. So the Islanders would have to offer over $10.568 million, I think it is.
That's right.
And it would be four first-rounders.
Right, which is a very steep price.
It's a totally steep price. Now, that being said, the way the Islanders kind of groom their prospects, you're not seeing these guys for quite some time. You have Marner, who's extremely young. He's established in this league. And there are enough Islander prospects in the developing right now that could sustain this blow. It's about the team now.
I know that, Noel, but when in a cap era, it's really hard to go 4 years in a row without a first round draft pick. Look at teams that are in cap hell now. Look at teams that are rebuilding, and they did not draft in the first round nearly enough. I'm not saying you have to do it every year, but you got to get kids into your system that you can pay $800,000 that can improve your team.
And the Islanders have a bunch of those guys waiting in the wings right now. And so,
yes, but you need a steady influx of them. I don't mind going 1 or 2 years without a first round pick, but 4 years is a lot. And what if something happens? What if Marner doesn't work out? There's a lot of risk there. I think don't offer Sheetham. You want to offer Sheetham? I'm just telling you, it's not gonna happen.
Am I sitting there anxiously waiting for this to happen? No, I'm just opening up this dialogue where it could happen. I'm just saying that basically, if they offer Sheetham, more likely that they're going to match it, so it's going to be difficult for the Leafs to do anything. That being said, if the Islanders offer Sheetham, they match, they're not making a trade between the two teams for a certain player. That's it. The relationship is strained right there between the two clubs. And,
I mean, wouldn't you just rather try and get Panera at $10 million and keep your four first rounders?
Well, I mean, you can't really start the process until July, right?
I think it's past that, yeah.
Or it's like June. I think it's like the end, June 26th. I think it's similar to that, right? So
yeah, I think it's around the draft, right?
I think it's right after. I think it's similar to unrestricted free agency. So I think you can start the window June 25th, 26th, and then they can't officially sign until July. I mean, I think you keep both lanes of dialogue open, you know, between Panarin's camp and potentially Marner's camp. That being said, I mean, watch Marner sign quickly, and we all forget about that. But there are also a couple other guys, too. William Karlsson with Vegas, although I think Vegas won't.
I think he'd stay in Toronto, dude. I think if the way they got to pay Marner, I think you can RFA Kapanen, and that's it for about $6 or $6.5 million, and that's a deal that Toronto cannot match.
Yeah, I mean, that's also another guy. And if you offer him between that, it's only a first and a third. And that's not really a bad blow to...
And he's a good-looking hockey player.
He is. He totally is. So that would not be so bad as well. That could be somebody they look forward to. William Karlsson. Well, I think Vegas would easily match whatever he's...
Vegas is going to re-sign him. They have plenty of room.
Right. Another one, because this team is kind of interesting with their salary cap situation, is Braden Point. What I think.
Yeah, they'll find a way to get it done because they always do.
They'll get it done because less money without the Florida state income tax. So, you still have to do it. You push these teams to the limit. I'm sorry. It's there. But,
yeah, but it doesn't happen, though.
I know it doesn't happen anymore.
You can say that, but there's not offer sheets coming in every year.
No, I know. But this year, you have these guys, and I don't think you've had these top notch.
You didn't even mention Kyle Connor or Patrick Laine.
No, because that'd be foolish. I don't think those guys would even get to that point. I think those guys will both get wrapped up.
I don't know. Winnipeg's got a lot of money tied up there, so that's going to be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah. Well, that being said, I mean, someone could offer Anthony Bevilli an offer sheet too this year.
They could. No one's doing that.
No. I'm just saying no one's. Yeah. But they also could start negotiating with Matt Barzal this year. Yeah. Although no one can offer sheet him.
I don't think they will though.
No, they have other fish to fry right now. But the window can be open for those guys. But it's going to be interesting, Dan, to see what happens. It's a long off season. It's a long way to the draft and to free agency. One guy we didn't even mention is Jeff Skinner, who is not signed yet. I do think it will get done between him and Buffalo. But
no. Do you not see that report, dude? He's going to free agency.
Oh, the last thing I saw, they were talking still.
And a week before the season was over, he said that he's going to test free agency.
They were
booing him. I don't know. Unless there was some new update that I did not see, but at the end of the season, he said he was going to free agency.
Okay, I thought I saw something on Twitter that there had an open dialogue recently.
I'm sure the Sabres are still going to touch base with him and still offer a contract, but it sounds like he is going to test the market.
Then if that's the case, that's someone also that they can look towards. I wouldn't mind having him and Nugent Hopkins or him and Panarin. I'm sorry, him and Duchesne. You're not going to get Panarin. You get both those guys. They have the cap space for both those guys. You let Nelson, you let Everly walk.
Unfortunately, we're in the hypothetical state until the season's over.
Of course.
Usually we do this from the beginning of April, but this year we're doing it from the second week of May. So that's great.
All right, Dan. So we'll definitely have many shows before the draft and free agency. To be a lot to talk to. And once again, just thanks to everybody who made this season enjoyable, all the listeners. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll talk to you next time.